Welcome to the weekly podcast, Stand Strong. I'm Paul White.
And I'm Noah Dieselkamp. Together, we look to God's Word to find energy and encouragement to fuel our faith.
When our trust in Jesus is firm, we'll be amazed what God can do and accomplish in our lives. So let's turn to the wisdom in God's Word, a true and trusted source that is going to help us stand strong. Let's dig in. Well, hello to all today who are listening. Noah, to you in the studio today. What a great day it is. Beautiful weather. Good to be together. Good for us to get back into the text of Scripture. We're dealing with the theme, Noah, did Jesus really? And where we're going today is where we've been going the last several weeks. Did Jesus really say that?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to get to Acts 20. So, Noah, if you got anything to just share with the audience before we get to Acts 20, this is your time. If not, we're going to Acts 20.
Well, I'm looking forward to our discussion today. I think that this is a unique verse that we're going to be looking at, a kind of a unique situation. After all, we're studying the words of Jesus, and suddenly we're in the latter part of Acts. So I think that's going to be really interesting, and I know it's going to benefit us as well, so I'm looking forward to that.
So this is a discussion in Acts 20. You know, we know the context. This is a discussion that Paul is having with the Ephesian elders. So these are shepherds in a local church. Paul knows he won't be with them much longer. And so he's having a discussion with them. You can read that in your own time in Acts chapter 20. So you got words in black, and all of a sudden right here in the words in black, you've got words in red. Did Jesus really say that? So we're going to see some words in red in Acts 20, 35. But let's get a little context here. Acts 20, back up to verse 32. Paul says this. I like the New International Version. In Acts 20, right here in verse 32, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. And here we got verse 35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So clearly Jesus really said that. And Paul cites these words in the context of a discussion he has with these elders, and he uses himself as a positive example. Mm-hmm. I haven't coveted. I've supplied my own needs. I've taken care of myself. I've taken care of my companions. I have helped the weak. Oh, by the way, remember the words of Jesus.
Right, right. It is kind of an interesting close to the discussion. That is, I mean, that's the last words we have recorded of that discussion. After that, they pray and leave, or he leaves. And it's interesting because it is almost like it feels like a, by the way, remember this. Mm-hmm. But the train of thought that's gotten him to talking about this is, it's a little bit weavy and windy, but it's important to understand, like you said, he's been pointing to himself as a positive example, which is something we're not always comfortable with. But Paul had no issue doing that. He did that in his epistles on multiple occasions, and he does it here as well. And like he does in his different epistles, he really ultimately doesn't say, well, you know, you're just to imitate me because I'm an apostle. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I think that as we discuss this idea more of the idea it is more blessed to give than to receive, we'll see that ultimately this idea of being blessed in our giving is rooted in the person of Christ and the giving that he has done. So I think we'll see that unfold as we discuss this more.
Yeah, a lot of questions. You know, I've had people ask me, okay, Paul says, remember the words of Jesus. Okay, Jesus said this, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But when did Jesus say this? To whom did he say this? Under what circumstances did Jesus say that? And the answer that we have to all those questions is, we don't know.
Right.
But Jesus said this. Jesus modeled this. Paul references it here in the context of Acts 20 to elders. Here's the big question I have. And again, looking at Acts 20, doesn't give us a clear answer to this question, but I think it's a fair question. It's worthy of being asked, at least. Why does Paul reference these words in a discussion with elders? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
We'll get back to, clearly, we are to see that there is joy in giving.
Right.
This consumer society, this, you know, it's all about what I get rather than what I can give. It's all about me rather than being about others. And we need to tackle that, and Scripture tackles that. And surely Paul is wanting the elders at Ephesus to understand, as all of us as Christians need to understand, the joy of giving.
Right.
But back to this discussion, you know, he made a point. Look, I showed you something. He said, I showed you something about helping the weak. Mm-hmm. And I want you to understand, Jesus said there is a blessedness. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Maybe Paul wants elders, because of the position and place that they occupy, of influence within a local family of sheep, that elders of all men need to model the right example of ministry.
Yeah.
These are my words, and I've heard this before, and I like it. Elders need, inside of a local congregation, to create a culture that demonstrates clearly what Jesus taught. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah.
And that's on the shoulders of elders to create that culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really important way of unpacking this, and especially viewing it as from a leadership perspective, because generally speaking, and as you alluded to, in our consumeristic society, the idea of giving being the more blessed, you know, the more happy, the more joyful thing. I mean, maybe during specific seasons of the year, we kind of, as a society, act like we get that or understand it. I would say the other 11 months of the year make it clear that we don't actually understand that as a society. You know, the other 11 months of the year, we're more likely to use that to try to get somebody else to give us something. Well, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive, so you can pick up the check today. You know, that kind of an attitude. Rarely would we come out and say that directly. But the idea that this needs to be modeled, not just in December, but this needs to be modeled, and especially by spiritual leaders, to demonstrate in their lives that it is truly more blessed, it brings more joy, it brings God more glory to give than to receive. And if we can model that in our lives, as Paul points to himself and says, I've been living these words, right? If we can model that, then we become living proof of the fact that this is truly more blessed. It's more blessed.
Think about what that would do, not just in our local churches, what that would do in our local families, if those that are in positions of leadership would avoid any semblance of greed, selfishness, or materialism.
Oof.
Think about what that would do. Now, think about us. So again, he's having this conversation. Now, I'm not saying in this podcast that this only has application to elders.
Sure.
But you don't need to start there. Start there with leadership. But think about Paul, how his model in preaching. I can talk about, as a preacher, I can talk about the days when you're so drained, because in the words of Paul, I gave of myself. Mm-hmm. And I did it from the right motives, but I gave unselfishly of myself. And then sometimes, if you're not careful, you can think, what have you done for me lately? I mean, I gave of myself unselfishly out of compassion and mercy and kindness and love. This is the kind of spirit I have manifested before you, and this is how you treat me?
Right.
And Paul says, oh, remember the words of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than receive.
Right.
It's kind of like an aha moment. Why are you preaching? What are your motives? But move beyond just what we say. The ministry of the words and the messages that we're preaching and teaching. Paul was traveling around, and when there were saints in Judea who were in need, needy saints. And Paul would, like Corinth and other churches, talk to them about participating in this. Mm-hmm. He would use terms like grace, and he would cite Jesus as an example. I'm thinking about to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus, for your sakes, became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Oh, remember what Jesus did for you?
Right.
How can you have less than that same spirit?
Right.
And so I think what he's doing here, especially to elders, is making sure that elders understand that we are responsible for creating a situation and an environment inside of the local church that this is normal.
Right.
To see ourselves, the blessedness, the joy of giving is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah. And you pointed to the example of Paul's appeal to the Corinthians. Ultimately, that appeal is rooted in the kind of teaching that Jesus did, for instance, in Luke chapter 6. When he says in Luke chapter 6, you know, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that? Even sinners love those who love them, right? That's verse 32. And if you move on from there, you know, if you do good to those who do good to you, okay, so what, basically, mm-hmm. right? And if you lend to others expecting to get that back, so what? Everybody does that. What sets you apart? And what Jesus gets to there in Luke chapter 6 is when he says something like, lend expecting nothing in return, he says, your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. Why? For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So that appeal that Paul makes in Corinthians, where he refers to it as a grace, ultimately our, whether it be monetary, like what, and resources, like what Paul is talking about in Corinthians, or some other form of giving, you mentioned time and giving of self and those kinds of things. Ultimately, those all are reflections of the Most High, and they're reflections of us being his sons and his daughters, because he's kind to the ungrateful. Mm-hmm. He shows mercy to those who have no regard for mercy. So yeah, we should be generous in our giving, because that is a reflection of the grace that we have received.
Yeah, you know, I like that. You know, you mentioned the Luke 6, 38. Maybe that is what Paul has in mind, or at least one of the places that he has in mind when he's referencing the words of Jesus. That very spirit is more blessed to give than to receive. I love that. I read this some time ago, and I jotted it down. I like this quote. This author said this: in God's economy, you will be more blessed if you're a spiritual conduit rather than a spiritual cul-de-sac. I live in a cul-de-sac, so he got me a cul-de-sac. But, you know, yeah, in God's economy, you'll be more blessed if you're a spiritual conduit rather than a spiritual cul-de-sac. And again, how we think influences how we live. Mm-hmm. So again, what kind of giver is the Lord looking for?
Right.
A generous, a hilarious giver. We hear that. What makes me find it so satisfying? What is it that makes me so full of joy when I can give? I know how full of joy I am when I get.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but what's the better spirit?
Right.
Where's the more blessed way of thinking?
Right.
To give than to receive.
Yeah, absolutely. And anytime we talk about being this, what is the more blessed attitude? Again, we sometimes get hung up on that word blessed. If we can run back through things like the Beatitudes to help us reframe, when God says blessed, when he says happy is the man that does this, or if we go back, we could look at the Proverbs. There's countless Proverbs that says, you know, blessed is the man who does this, you know, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, those kinds of things. We can start to see and start to shape our idea of what does happiness in the ways of God look like? What does happiness in his paths look like? Because it's a lot different than the self-directed paths and the type of happiness or pleasure that we gain. I think a real danger when we talk about this kind of thing, especially when we talk about giving and we think of it in terms of specifically money, mm-hmm. is that if we don't view ourselves as particularly affluent, then we go, wow, that's a really good verse for somebody else.
Yes. I think I know where you're about to go with this, which is very pointed. Go ahead.
Well, we need to be very careful about taking this and using it as some form of ammunition against somebody else when we haven't taken the log out of our own eye. And and I think verses that can help us reframe this and see for ourselves that this is for us. This is for us. No matter how affluent we feel we are, I think of, for instance, what John writes in his first letter, 1 John chapter 3. He says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Mm-hmm. He didn't say, if anyone is massively wealthy and doesn't do something good with that, how does he? No, if you have the world's goods, if you have food on your table and you've got a roof over your head, but you're unwilling to share those things with those in need, that's a pointed question that John asks. How does God's love abide in you? You know, I think verses like that can help us kind of narrow in on ourselves and realize we are called to be generous no matter who we are or what our circumstances.
You know, go back to Acts 20 when you were talking about this. We need to be careful not only to think in terms of money, the dispensing of money.
Right.
That's the help. When you go to Acts 20, again, he says, verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, and notice in this podcast, I never even started down the road of the difference between work and hard work, this difference between a mentality of just do enough to get by and lazy, no more than's necessary. And this person says, I'm trying to do whatever I can.
Right.
He said hard work, but his point was we must help the weak. I'm a word guy, so sometimes I do more word studies than maybe I should do. But if you look at this word weak, just do the word study. The implications there is this is not limited to somebody who's poor in purse. That is, they need financial help. Clearly that's there. But there are other ways that Paul was an example in terms of needs of the companions that he mentions in verses 33 and 34. He says, look, I showed you how to help supply needs. So the weak person is not just somebody that needs money.
Right.
They can need other things. People that are physically and spiritually weak. Remember the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than receive. Then that's I'm back to where I started, why this is so important that you start with elders and start with leadership and create a culture so that we understand as disciples that we are called to model Jesus and we need to find joy and satisfaction, cheerful giver, generous, hilarious. I want to do this. If you think about your kids, I think God hardwired us when things are normal and natural in our development that we find great satisfaction. Think about the 7 and 8, 9, 10-year-old kids that I've seen in this church and other places that when they've gone to help somebody or they've helped mom in the kitchen, they've helped dad in the yard and it's over with. And there's a sense of joy. Mm-hmm. I had a part in this.
Yeah.
I worked hard and I did what I could do to take care of a need of someone else. So when you go clean someone's house, when you go help them move, when you go fill in the blank, there's a need. I can help fill that need. And I take this spirit into it, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I go home with more satisfaction because I gave than if I was the one that was receiving.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like so many other principles that we see Jesus teach, a core part of this is humility. It requires a humble attitude, for instance, what you were just describing, that recognizes that what we're actually looking at is a heart that wants to work in whatever way possible in order to provide for whatever needs exist. And so if we are locked in on simply the financial end of things, or we have a particular idea in mind of what it has to look like, well, then probably what's happened is we've taken Jesus's words and we've we've decided we're just going to apply them in one area, and most likely it's an area that doesn't affect us very much. It's for somebody else over there. And instead, like I just mentioned a moment ago, our hearts need to be humble and soft and ready to be molded and shaped to see, no, we're called to the blessing of giving in every arena of our lives. We have to have the humility to recognize those opportunities and to then take advantage of them.
Yeah, I love it. A new commandment, Jesus says, I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you. The newness in that command was love on this level. Jesus says, love like you've seen me love. And I think Paul references back to the perfect example and perfect model. Even though he says, I showed you, he wasn't making it about himself.
Right.
He says, y'all know the Lord Jesus. Y'all knew him. You knew his model. You knew his motto. Let's go be his people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really enjoyed that discussion. We could go on, I'm sure, for another 20 minutes, but I believe that we've spent some valuable time on Jesus' words, as recounted by Paul there in Acts chapter 20. And I hope that's been a good challenge for us as we look around today to see how we can engage in the blessing of giving, because it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yes. Well, where are we going next, Lord willing, in this? Did Jesus really, focusing on some things that he said and really what's behind all that he said, where are we going next, Noah?
Well, we are continuing with, did Jesus really say that? I believe next week will be the seventh installment of, did Jesus really say that? And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, the first couple of verses there. And people that are familiar with the Sermon on the Mount will automatically recognize Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. We're going to be looking at that next week in that context and trying to understand better, okay, did Jesus really say, judge not that you be not judged? Because we hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. Those are the words of Jesus. Well, they are. What was he teaching, and what challenge was he issuing to those of us that are willing to have ears that hear and hearts that are soft for listening to his words? So that's where we're going to be looking next week.
Well, look forward to that. Thank you again today to all who are tuning in. Remember, there's an opportunity at any time. Of course, if you're a part of this local family and you can see Noah and I on a regular basis, come up to us, send us a text, send us an email, or just say, hey, you talked about this, or you haven't talked about that, or I've got a question about this. We want feedback. We want to hear from you. We just appreciate all who listen and partner with us in this spiritual journey. Until next week, thank you to all who are serving Christ, and we pray that we'll stand strong.
Thanks for joining us in God's Word today. We hope you'll continue to join us each week as we consider how to deepen our faith in God.
Here's some good news today and even this week. With God as our foundation, we know that we can stand strong.